Good morning and welcome to worship at the Church of Conscious Harmony. It is good to be together on this autumn morning. I thank you for your choice to be present, to receive the goodness of the influences of being together with God. I have a lot of announcements today, so please bear with me. You can always follow up in the bulletin or on the website. But the first announcement is that we are doing our Advent prayer trees again, and we invite you to take one of these triangles, which are in the baskets at the sanctuary tables in the back as you leave, and write a prayer in there or an affirmation or a declaration, and we will hang these on our Advent tree and starting the first Sunday of Advent. So you've got two more Sundays to do that. Also, in preparation for Christmas season, we need volunteers to help decorate the church. And Jim, are you here? Jim is our team leader for that, and just connect with Jim. This is a good opportunity to meet new people in the church. It's a good opportunity to serve the church if you're wondering how to get connected or to give back. It's also a wonderful opportunity if you have children or youth to allow them to be electrocuted. We do welcome children and youth to partake in setting up the sanctuary and the grounds. We are in need of nursery volunteers, and this is a ministry because it's a sacrifice, because you are not able to be present in the sanctuary in that Sunday that you serve. But so many of our children and our babies and infants need our volunteer support. So if that's something you feel drawn to, please contact the church office or see Deborah Hale. Our next half-day centering prayer retreat in the sanctuary is during Advent, and it's always a very meaningful and well-attended retreat because of the season. But that happens on Saturday, December 14th. And because of the numbers attending, I really encourage you to sign up. You can register online or by calling the church office, and that really helps us in our preparation. On December 21st, that's Saturday, December 21st, that's also the winter solstice, there is a fire circle, a men's fire circle, as the women gathered this fall in their gathering. The men will do so on December 21st. And men are of all ages are invited. We'll gather in the fellowship hall at 6 o'clock. There'll be a guest speaker. We'll have a time of chanting, and then we'll go down to the fire pit and have a time of sharing, dealing with the fears that come up for men. Please bear with me, just four more announcements. Save a teams occur every Sunday morning, and they're rotating five teams, and Seva is our word for service, and Seva prepares the sanctuary, prepares the campus every Sunday morning, prepares the food, does cleanup, does so many of the aspects that make all of us blessed in the worship service. Seva teams are in need of more volunteers. So if you're wondering how to give back and how to connect with the community, Seva team Sunday morning at 7 a.m. is a wonderful way to do it. And you only serve once every 5 weeks. You can contact the church office if you're interested in signing up. Also, we have our annual Thanksgiving dinner. Sign up on the kitchen door. So I encourage you, if you are looking for community on that Thanksgiving, it's a non-alcoholic event, and we have poetry readings afterward and some music. So it's a very meaningful way to enjoy that holiday if you don't have family around or you don't want to be with your family. It's been the church's tradition to collect funds that purchase firewood and natural gas for the Pine Ridge Native American Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And last year, the generosity of our community was so significant, we had too much money. We had an excess amount of funds to give. And so we held those excess funds, about half of what was given, we held that to give this year. And I want to just give everyone the opportunity, if you wish to contribute to that Pine Ridge donation that we'll be sending, you can do so. But this will be our last year as a community doing this. In the years to come, I wish to connect and partner with a ministry that supports immigrants at our nearby border. And so we'll be praying and listening for the right partnership that we can support as a community going forward. And it's been such a meaningful thing to give to the Pine Ridge Reservation, but they're far away, and I feel a sense of connecting closer to our neighbor. And that could perhaps allow us to give in more ways than just monetarily. And finally, we have one space available. A space is opened up for the Advent retreat, the 6-day Advent retreat starting on December 6th. So if you're interested in that, call the church office quickly. And there is no yoga this Friday or the Friday of Thanksgiving week, just to draw note to that as well. Well, that's all the announcements, and I thank you for your attention and your presence here. Let's take a moment in the silence, and let us each make a wish for what we need to hear and receive through this service today. Wish for those beside you, and through our combined attention, energy of love would flow from our community into our world today. Amen.
Spirit. Please stand for the gospel in one word.
Most gracious and loving Creator, God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we do feel your love in our consent to your presence in our lives, in the reminder that we feel your love together in community in unique ways. And we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that energy of love would infuse each of us a little more today and transform us into love. Bring wisdom, bring understanding, bring friendship through this service, that we might more deeply consent to becoming participants of your divine nature in a world that is broken and needs your healing touch. May we be ambassadors of this love, sent forth into the silence to bear forth the fruit of peace. We ask this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
In that passage, it's really the anthem for a work community that wishes to recognize that we can awaken more, that we can become more developed, that we can offer ourselves to God and be changed, that our besetting personality quirks and problems that cause friction and difficulties in relationships and in our lives, and the recurring feedback we get from life that shows us where we still need to grow and where we can learn from our failures that aren't really failures, just opportunities to grow in wisdom and love and understanding. And so this passage is a powerful anthem for us as a work community. And I just want to draw out a couple of the ideas in the passage, and then we'll talk a little more about the Journey School and the Journey Groups that we revealed last week. And we'll have time for community sharing, asking questions, or making comments about the Journey School and the Journey Groups and how you're processing that information. One of the things about that passage is that the word work shows up three times, and it's a different word. Two different words are used regarding work, and I thought this was very insightful for us as a work community to explore what these things mean. The first command is for us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And if you can just pause for a moment and hold, we'll explore what the word salvation means, because that's a loaded theological term, I know. And fear and trembling are also loaded theological terms, and we'll reinterpret them. But just focus on the word work for a moment. This word for work in the Greek doesn't just mean effort. It means to a pointed end, to a certain destination. That is to say, what's the purpose? What's your aim for which you are aiming at? And so it really gets at the sense of what do you want and where are you directed and why? This is why. To evolve. And that's the essence of that word. Evolve to a certain, you might say, point or destination. And what might that be? What might that be for each of us? Well, certainly the destination of love, but for each of us there might be different little destinations that we uniquely have the privilege of working on and facing and confronting and seeing in ourselves. So don't just box the air, focus on an aim and give your attention, your effort, your will to that particular direction. And really this is important to make the connection to the word sin, because that also is a theologically loaded term. But that word literally comes from archery, the art of archery. And to sin meant to miss the mark. So the essence of sin isn't the naughty things that we do, so to speak, that make us bad boys and girls. The essence of sin is missing the mark or aiming in a direction that doesn't lead to the fullness of our development and goodness of what is our possibility. And so these programs for happiness get in the way of distracting us from our true full potential and possibility of development. So make work, make effort to a particular aim or direction. And then the second word here, it says that God will work in you, and that's the word energize. And I find that to be really useful and encouraging, because while we make the aim, God gives the energy. God gives that energy that gives us life and encouragement and inspiration to keep going forward. And we get these little God nudges, these little God hints that come to us when we taste truth, digest it, and gives that inner sense of, yes, this is true. This is the direction I wish to go. It gives me energy to keep going when I feel discouraged or depressed or feel like I'm not making progress. And so that energy that comes from God infuses our own will with a desire and a deepening consent to say, yes, I'm continuing on in that direction. Because the truth is that it's the easiest thing in the world not to have an aim. And certainly it's the easiest thing in the world not to have a spiritual aim, not to have an aim that's grounded in spirit or love or transformation, of surrender of self. Our culture doesn't celebrate an aim that leads to diminishment of self. Everything in our culture celebrates the exaltation of self to the accumulation of wealth and the depletion of natural resources and whatever you want to do to anyone else to get ahead so that you can succeed in this world. That is what our culture in many ways celebrates, if not implicitly, then certainly tacitly. And we get that in our education, and we get that in our culture, and we get that in all the advertisements to have, to get, to need, to want. And it is an aim. It is certainly an aim for one's life. But you might explore, and I continue to explore, what it is that I really wish for, what it is that I'm headed toward, and what efforts and what energy am I giving to that. And we need the energy of God to infuse us, to keep giving us that encouragement when it's so easy to give in to the temptation to just eat, drink, and be merry, and forget the vertical dimension of spirit, and live on this horizontal plane, survival, pleasure, accumulation, security, protecting ourselves, defending what we think is right, and all the conflicts that emerge from that. So it's a reminder for us to work toward an aim and to receive that energy that enables us to keep growing and going. And no one is, you know, perfect at this, and we just encourage one another because we recognize this, that it is out of the ordinary. It's quite extraordinary to have a spiritual aim to become love. It's quite an extraordinary thing to have an aim to diminish oneself so that one is more humble, more peaceful, more patient, more kind, more joyful, more good. These are amazing aims to have, and we need encouragement to do so. And that gets us to this notion of fear and trembling, because those are really loaded words, but let me just reinterpret them. The essence of both of those Greek words are, fear is reverence, and trembling is literally this quivering that a horse muscle has when it's about to leap. You can just see the horse hind muscles quiver, right? It's that quivering. So reinterpreting fear and trembling, just for a moment, fear as reverence is this sense of contingency and dependency and connectedness, remembering connectedness to what we call the ray of creation, that we're a part of a vast system that is living, and our little part that we play is very contingent and hinged upon source, hinged upon life from above. Don't forget that, in essence. That's what fear means, to live in reverence, connected and contingent upon the mystery. Capital M, mystery. Don't forget that. That's the invitation to live by way of fear. That is to say, reverence and contingency, that I'm more dependent upon something other than just myself. So, evolve toward wholeness, which is the way I translate salvation. Evolve toward fullness of health, well-being, with a sense of connectedness and contingency upon source, with attentiveness. Because that's the essence of the word trembling. That horse is so attentive to leap, just quivering with attention, so present, you know, just so there, that horse is about to just leap. And so that's the essence of quivering, attentiveness, to stay connected and attentive. And where we give our attention, there we go. You know, that life force drains where we give our attention. And some things we give our attention to replenish us. Others deplete us. And sometimes we don't have the choice, you know. Sometimes we're in traffic or in a fight or in the conflict with the children. or just in a shopping mall line, and our energy force depletes. And, you know, we don't have a choice about it, but we can work on that, of being, give our attention more to something deeper in us that is inexhaustible, connected to Source, capable of loving just a little bit more, or being patient just a little bit more than we normally might be. So this passage of Scripture grounds the why for me. The why we are doing a journey school, the why we are doing journey groups, the why of this community. That the essence of this opportunity that all of us have on this planet is to develop, to surrender more of our life to God and be transformed, and to see where that God will take us, see where that energy will lead us. And not only on our own, which a lot of people don't have a choice. They are on their own in their spiritual journeys. A lot of people live in little towns all over this world and do not have access to others to sit in the silence for 20 minutes, do not have access to a retreat, do not have the money, $200 to go on a retreat. That's a lot for most people on this planet. Most people don't have the privilege and the luxury of having others to go on this journey together, to have others who are of same mind, of similar orientation, of wishing to aim at a destination called transformation, to have a community of others who wish to give their attention and contingency to God. And we are very, very blessed as a community. And the passage goes on to say that this way of life will lead to being lights in the world, that you will radiate, and it will be attractive, and it will be a blessing, like stars. That this quality of life of living contingent and connected and attentive bears a fruit in us that is unique and compelling. And over time, this way of life begins to infuse in us the presence of Christ itself. And we become turned into this presence, if not as individuals, then as a community, more and more. And it's very, very compelling to me. And who knows where the wish will take us as a community. So the journey groups are a way of having a container for a small group of people, say 8 to 10 or 12 people at the most. But 6 to 8 would be ideal. And one of the things we've learned this year through our journey groups has been how valuable they are to us on our journeys. And the journey groups this year haven't been perfect. We've learned from them. We need to do more training for our facilitators. We need to do a better job communicating so we know when the end dates are and the start dates are. But all these things are little. The essence of the journey group experiment this year has borne really good fruit in our community. And there are also complications and frictions when we open the journey groups up to people outside of our community. People who don't speak or understand the same language we do, because we've had the privilege of talking in this language for 20 or 30 years. And so there's a degree of love that is required, and external considering, caring for others, being patient with those who may not be up to speed with the work terms or the special lingo that we sometimes have around the spiritual journey, that we have to extend that courtesy to other people in these groups when there are folks from all around the world partaking. And that's something that we as a community get to explore as we make a wish to open the door even more. Anyone, anywhere who wishes to partake in a journey group can sign up. Now, another thing I would just want to mention, and then we'll open the floor up for comments, questions, concerns about the journey school and the journey groups. The journey groups are going to start again in early February. So be on the lookout in January for opportunities to sign up. And there will be opportunity to sign up for an in-person journey group or a Zoom journey group. But the program year starts in January, even though the journey groups start in February. That gives us time to open the doors, continue our training of the facilitators, and build the journey groups. So this little housekeeping depot, I think, can hold all of us with the wish that we begin our journey groups in early February for the purpose of working toward an aim of the wholeness evolving toward that wholeness that makes us lights of love in the world. And that is my wish, anyway, to evolve in this way. Now, let's hear what's going on in your heads. You've heard what's happening in my heart, but let's just open the floor now. Ask any questions about the journey groups, about the journey school. Hopefully some of you have read the frequently asked questions, or maybe you have some questions this morning. So we'll open the floor up, see where you're at. Yes, Rebecca.
So Peter, I ended up feeling a little bit confused about the connection between the journey groups and the work. Could you clarify that?
Okay, so the journey groups, the content of the curriculum of the journey group is going to be created by what we're calling our writing team. And the writing team is comprised of, this year, the faculty members of what we now call Thursday Night Work Class, but what will be called the Journey School. So the curriculum that is being written right now by the writing team will be what the journey groups discuss. And the curriculum will integrate very intentionally work ideas week by week with contemplative Christianity. So we will be making a deeper intention to draw the connection between the two. And so this year's curriculum theme is on that integration. And we have already set out the weekly ideas that the work ideas that we will be covering. So we know the whole year in advance of the curriculum. We just haven't written it all, but we know the themes for each week. So the wish is to help us integrate work ideas with contemplative Christianity and update some work language through this writing curriculum. So does that answer your question?
Will there be, for lack of a better term, homework from week to week? I'm just curious about that. I felt like this last year, you know, we did the reading and we shared sort of loosely about how it affected us during the week, but I kind of missed the actual, like, kind of an assignment sort of thing.
Yep, good question. This year there will be a deliberate homework exercise given by the work leader, by the faculty member, every Thursday evening at the Journey School, and that homework will be dovetailed into the conversation in the Journey groups. So yes, homework will be more explicit this year than it was next year than it was this year in our Journey groups. So those are good clarifying questions. Thank you. Anyone else? Karen.
I just want to offer up an observation from our journey group taking the break. It was a little hard to kind of re-engage and get started again. And from previous work groups that I've been in where we opted not to take a break, it seemed far more continuous in that evolution of the work of the group. So just as an observation, I think the summer break was not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that input. I don't envision we'll be taking a break this coming year. The curriculum continues. There might be a pause in the curriculum, but I don't think we'll be taking a break like we did. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yes, I don't know your name.
Laura.
Say that again.
Laura.
Yeah. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Laura.
I was part of the journey group this past year, which has been lovely. But I would say for somebody who's only been going to this church for about a year and didn't know the work, that I still am befuddled. Like, I'm like, I think I need to go to Thursday night to get a sense of what the work. I mean, we had some readings on it, but I still, and I have lovely women that know it and have been helping me understand, but I feel like having that better grounding, and whether that's going to Thursday night or going to scriptorium, I don't know. I still am a little clueless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's it's a process, Laura, and I thank you for sharing that vulnerably. We've heard that a lot. I've heard that a lot, and it's just part of the difficulty of integrating work ideas because they are new terms, but they're very self-explanatory concepts in a way. One of the things to address this that we're developing is an index of definitions that's hyperlinked. And so that in the emails that come, the curriculum emails, there'll be any of these terms, these work ideas, will be hyperlinked so you can click on it if you don't know what it is, and it'll take you to the definition. And that'll be an evolving living document that we can keep personalizing and making more clear. And I believe the curriculum this year will be much more aware. The writing team will be much more aware of the fact that we've got folks participating that may need introduction to the information. So it's a balance to meet the needs of those that are long-term work students and those who are new, and that's part of the difficulty that we. Yeah, is that Kevin? Brett, your brother is Kevin. But you're twins, right?
I just wanted to say to Laura and anybody else who is new here that I remember when I first started, I think it was about 7, 8, 9 years ago, I came in not knowing anything, realizing I didn't know anything. And then several months later, maybe 5, 6 months later, I knew everything. And I had it down. Who are these guys? They can't teach me anything. And then I realized, no, I don't know anything. And now I realize I'm still learning. So encouragement to you and everyone else.
Thank you, Brett, and welcome back to the community. One of the things I think that will be helpful is that Thursday evening, the Journey School class on Thursday nights is going to be Zoom enabled. So many people, for various reasons that are normal and appropriate, cannot attend on Thursday nights. But they could perhaps tune in by way of Zoom. And I think participation in the Journey School on Thursday nights really helps integrate work ideas, because we are talking about knowledge, but we're also talking about being, how these ideas play out in our lives. And that, to me, is the most sacred part about the Journey School Thursday night class, is how people are sharing their personal evolution and growth and what they're working on, and it's beautiful. Yes. Sherry.
This came up in our journey group last week, and my concern is with us, we discerned in the journey group that it's not a second line group, and one of the legs of the church is the work of inter-Christianity. And part of that work is that we are aiming towards balanced man, as I understand it. And part of being balanced man is all three centers. So we do offer movements here, and lots of intellectual. And with the discernment that the journey group is not a second line, and with the added structure for Thursday night with having, some written language and then kind of basing it off that, my concern is, are we losing the digestive component of for the emotional center?
Thank you. Great question. I hope not. The journey groups, and any board member could speak to this as well, but I think the intention of the journey groups is to be second line like, in that they provide a context for people to share what's going on in their life, not a place for others to offer advice or therapy, but it does provide a small container over a period of a year to go deeper with the group of people and be vulnerable. And hopefully that is a place where emotions can be processed and digested. The other thing that isn't changing and that will continue where what you're describing happens, and I know you know this, is work partners will continue. So that's that one-on-one daily relationship of sharing an aim for the day and then reporting on it, how it's unfolding. And those work partner relationships have been so fruitful in my own life and then in everyone's who's partaken. And So hopefully those two things, plus the Thursday evening class, will allow that digestion. Yes, Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa. For those who are new, I think, or newer, and I always feel new here, a definition of a work partner I think would be helpful, and also because I came into the journey group having a very teeny awareness around the work ideas. I was always curious, so how do these people have work partners? And I guess I missed the boat. That's kind of what it felt like. So all of this is kind of raising the question again for the future in terms of what does having a work partner on a daily basis look like today if there isn't the tenth man? Am I making that clear?
Yes. So the work partner invitation happens in early January, I believe, or maybe in early September. It happens once a year. So if you miss it in the work class, the Thursday work class, then oftentimes people don't get a work partner. But you can always call the church office and request a work partner. There are some prerequisites for that. We ask that you attend, at least the current request is that you attend the Thursday class for at least 6 months before getting a work partner. But I think that prerequisite is still up in the air for next year. So, yes, we will make it clear and seek to make it as that open enrollment as possible for people to connect with the work partner. Now, obviously, there's only if there's only five people who say, "Yeah, I want a work partner," that makes it more difficult. So we can only match if there is a match, and the faculty will do the matching. There's a hand back here, in the very back. Is that Alice? And then JC.
I was wondering if the work partners will be assigned within the journey groups.
Well,
or will it be an overall assignment?
Yes, good question. In order to request a work partner, you will need to partake in the Thursday evening class. That's the context of the work partner. So that is, in essence, a prerequisite for being a work partner at this point. But there are always exceptions to the rule, and just ask. You can ask me, email or call or come and visit, and we can talk. Because I don't want any rule getting in the way of anyone's journey. Yeah. Oh, no, JC, and then... JC?
There were two very short, easy to digest books that helped me when I was working on getting a foundation in the work, because looking at the five volumes of the commentaries can be very daunting and overwhelming. So Maurice Nickel has A Simple Explanation of Work Ideas, and E.F. Schumacher has a book called A Guide for the Perplexed. And if you read those two books, all will be clear.
And we also added this last year, Rebecca Nottingham's book, The Work, as a great introduction. Elaine.
Just an idea, but considering the new people that would be interested to do the work, would you consider having a partner being a mentor for newbies, so to speak, mm-hmm. to kind of guide them through instead of waiting 6 months?
Mm-hmm. It's a good idea. Thank you. And I think we've talked some about that in our planning, but it's a really good idea, and my heart is there with that idea. Two hands. Is it Elise?
Hi. I just had a Thursday night Zoom question. So if you're Zooming in, do you Zoom in at a particular time, or is it more like YouTube where you could go watch it at midnight?
I don't know the answer to that question completely, but the wish would be that people connect in at 7:30 on Thursday night and join live. I'm not sure if it will be recorded and available later. That is a technical question that Donald or Michael would know right now, but I don't see either of them. Are they here? Okay. Eric, do you know the answer to that question? Okay. Just this week, I know Donald was trying to get internet connection into this room so that we can do that. But there was another hand up here. Yes, Carly.
I just wanted to thank everyone who's working on this. And it's inspiring and it's encouraging to see both how you're moving forward to follow your heart's promptings and your guidance to create something that we all can benefit from. So individually in my own journey, that feeds my courage. And I feel very moved by the idea of even broadening the community to bring in others, because this past year that was me. Mm-hmm. So after sharing that, I also have one question. And you mentioned updating some of the work terminology, and that might be part of what you're doing this year. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, that's a wish, to keep the work evolving and alive. And for example, the word multiplicity is a word, or the doctrine of eyes is a concept, that we're not just one eye, where there's a multiplicity in us. And just to explore, is that dissociative identity disorder, for example, modern psychology? What does modern psychology bring? What does neurology bring to a deeper understanding of those sorts of things? The work came out of Gurdjieff in early 1908. He started teaching in St. Petersburg, Russia, and Moscow. That's over 100 years ago, and a lot of evolution and education has unfolded since then, that I think there's a responsibility for a community that intentionally wishes to say, yeah, we draw upon the wisdom of the work to keep it alive and to keep translating it forward into the new generation. So, thank you. There was another hand over here. We'll do the Laurie and then Dami.
So the classes will still be recorded to listen to later.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I wanted to mention was that with regard to new people and the understanding of the work, it's a really good point that Laura made. And we have had that recognition, and so the evolution is that the email that comes out will be in support of and use even the same readings as, or some of the same readings as, the Thursday night class. And so the hope is that what have been sort of separate streams are all beginning, and the annual aim and monthly aims are all beginning to weave together for each of us for our greater understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like there was something else that I wanted to mention, but those are the two things.
Thank you, Laurie. And Laurie's a board member. Laurie's a faculty member and on the writing team. So thank you. Dami? And then Rodney.
Two questions. So I'm glad to hear that the work classes will still be recorded for audio. Currently, you can listen for a small fee. Will that stay the same?
No, that is going to go away. And that is an aim that we have, to make the Thursday night class just free.
Sure, makes sense.
Down, like the services are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Alice asked a question earlier, and I'm wondering if what she was really asking was, could we elect or request a work partner who is also within our journey group?
Oh, good question. That's a good detail, and I hope one of us is taking a note. That is a good question.
Might be a secretarial nightmare. But,
yes.
You know.
Rodney, right behind.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate you extricating yourself from being the abbot or of the 10th man or the journey group.
The journey school.
The journey school.
Mm-hmm.
And that just to remind everybody that the teacher is always God, and that it's the marketplace in life that this is our true teacher, and God teaches us through that, just like it's a stage, and everything is there for you to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's always so important to remember what Bernadette's speaking towards the whole guru thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you paying attention to that.
Yeah, thank you. Any board member wish to share input on the conversation? Mary Leah.
I'm an educator. I've been in adult education for 30 years. And what I know from education is that when we can make intentional effort to synthesize and to integrate material, then it really sinks in. So we work on the side of knowledge, we learn the language, we learn the facts, but we don't really start to understand until we apply that to our being. And what the curriculum is going to do is going to invite us to learn the knowledge and the comprehension, acquire the lexicon, and then with work partners, with our journey groups, with coming to class on Thursday night, we're going to apply that knowledge to our being. We're going to put it on. We're going to practice it. And in so doing, we're going to allow it to sink into us and to color us and to change and transform us.
Mm, well said.
So the notion of being a voyeur in all this, that's okay. You can do that. But the invitation is to really sink into it, accept it in all three parts of yourself, your head, your heart, and your moving body,
mm-hmm.
so that you can be transformed. You can't do this by reading. No more can you learn to swim by reading.
Mm-hmm.
You need to take your clothes off and get wet.
Thank you.
And so the invitation is to dare to do that, to risk everything for your transformation. May it be so.
May it be so. Beautiful. Thank you for that wish. Ken, Eric, anything? Marianne? Yes, Eric.
I'm trying to put myself in a chair as if I've only been here for a month or two, and this could sound really overwhelming. And so if you are new or you're at a point in your life where this is a lot to take in, that's okay. It's okay to come on Sunday. It's okay to take a bit and a piece. It's okay to go to what you're called towards, because we are working with two complete systems that we're merging together, and it's dense. There is a lot to know, and it's not, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So just go where you're called.
Thank you, Eric. Marianne?
I really just want to say what Eric just did, in that I have been practicing centering prayer for 30 years and studying the teachings of Thomas Keating for that length of time, and have been intimately involved in his work. I've also been studying the work for 30 years, and every day it's new and fresh and meets you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're open, receptive, and have a real wish and will to God, something will always meet us. We don't have to understand everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something here.
Yeah.
Every single time. I watched videos of Thomas Keating and staffing a retreat a week ago, and although I helped edit and develop those videos, it was as if I had seen them for the first time. So we really don't need to be concerned that we know everything. It's to put it on and say yes to God mm-hmm. day after day after day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marianne. Thank you. And if you look at the rule of life, the 10-point rule of life, none of those say know the system. It's practice, practice, practice. Thank you. Ken?
So in the world, in the work that I do in the world, I've been involved in a lot of change. And I would, my experience is that there are probably people in the room that are not voicing concern about change, perhaps people that have been here for some time. And all I can tell you is being a doer in the world and being part of change and driving change in the world, I can tell you this is not that. Being a member of this board and watching how this has unfolded, it's being done. It's being done through this church. It's being done through the people. And I would just encourage you all to be open to that.
Thank you. Change is hard, you know, and... But evolution is unstoppable. And for those saints in the room that have been on this journey a long time, and perhaps are feeling, this doesn't work for me, this doesn't resonate, I've been there, done that. What I really want to encourage you, I'm talking to the saints who have been here 20, 30 years doing the work, in 10th Man School, went through the whole experiment, built this church. What I invite you to do is to be our prayer partners if you're not going to participate, to support it in your prayer. And perhaps those senior saints are people that could be mentors to newcomers, and that would be something to explore. But that could be an opportunity. The other thing I wanted to share, there was two questions that came up, and one we made the change immediately to the new printout, and these are available in the back when you leave. To receive the curriculum email, we are requesting a suggested donation of $125 for the subscription to the email. But it's only suggested. Any amount would be greatly appreciated and received. So it doesn't have to be $125. That's the suggested donation. I don't wish to limit anyone's participation in receiving that subscription to the curriculum. And then the other thing to clarify is on the SEVA rule of life. By that word SEVA, we're not limiting it to the SEVA Sunday morning team. It says, or any similar kind of service to the community, or if you're not at this church, the community church you're in. And so... For example, many of us serve as teachers. That's a form of seva. Seva means service, just to clarify that question. Well, we'll keep the conversation going. We'll keep addressing the anxiety, the questions in the room, and the concerns, and keep trying to bring clarity to this process. In the months to come, the board will be sharing the annual aim, the theme, and more detail on how to sign up, how to get involved in the Journey School, Journey Groups, etc. I think that's all. Next Sunday is a bookend to this conversation of the new that is emerging. And next Sunday we will have a panel up here of people that were involved in the beginning of the church, the start of the church, and we'll record the history of the church as best we can in that 45, 50 minutes. And Tim and Barbara will be here sharing their firsthand experience and memories, and really excited to get that church history recorded and down for the record. And there's not one place where you can go to find the history of the church. Thank you for your attention and your participation. Let's take a moment in the silence to wish together for an aim to keep our work alive and connected with God and our attention. Amen. And then give our hearts to song.
We're singing, "You Are the Center."
We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings in our hands and those that we have offered electronically, and remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Okay. Thank you. We dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings, knowing they are expressions of love and appreciation for this community and the work unfolding. May this be multiplied to become love and wisdom through our community into the world. In Christ we pray. Amen.
The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. I want to know you. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is
And now, let us rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Thank you. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Abba, Source, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the presence of the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
To me. comes your table running. I come to your table running. I come to your table running. To be made new. To be made new. To be made new.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude worship with song. Thank you to each of you for your presence here, for being the body of Christ together. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with us, our community, our country, and the world. Amen.